While the focus of Mexico's elections this month was mostly on the man who won the presidency, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, women won big across the board.
Yes, as women take their seats in public office, Mexico will rank fourth in the world for women's legislative representation. And it'll be the only country with an elected Senate that is majority women. An article in the Washington Post looks at how this happened and what it means for the country. And this morning, I spoke with one of the authors. Magda Hinojosa is an associate professor of political science at ASU. I started by asking her if this wave of gender parity comes from a sudden shift or if it's been years in the making.
So it's actually been a process that's been going on since the late 1990s. The very first gender quotas that were adopted in Argentina in 1991. And after that, a number of Latin American countries started to do the exact same thing. They set up gender quotas for candidate lists. So Mexico started experimenting with those in the late 1990s and gave them some real teeth in 2003. And since then, we've seen years and years of working towards better gender quotas that more effectively allowed women equitable representation.
So gender quotas, I mean, this is not something I've ever heard of in America for sure. But how does this work in terms of an election? Like, how do you guarantee that women will be elected? Isn't that kind of counterintuitive?
Well, I think it is. It sounds that way to most Americans because we're used to a process whereby people really run on their own, right? They run as Democrats or they run as Republicans, but they don't need their party's permission to run.
Right.
And that's not the case in most of the world. So in most places, you can't even run as an independent. In fact, that's one of the other big changes that has come to Mexico recently, is that now there will be some independent candidacies. But political parties have overwhelmingly controlled nominations, and so the rule is intended for political parties to meet. So they must figure out how to slate enough women to meet the rules. Part of this is also a function of having list systems. So oftentimes what we see is that gender quotas are applied in places where there's proportional representation list systems. Hmm. So this means that a political party will come up with, say, 30 names for candidacies, and they will rank order these. And this is my first place person, and say I win 10 spots, the top 10 names will go on to Congress, right? And so it's in many ways easier to apply gender quotas in that kind of context. But one of the things that my co-author Jen Piscopo and I talk about in this piece is that it is not in any way impossible to apply gender quotas when you're electing a single person, which is what happens also in Mexico. They use a mixed system, so they not only use proportional representation, they also have single member districts. And the Mexican case proves, of course, it's possible. Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Yeah. So how, as the numbers have grown of women in government in countries like Mexico, have we seen any tangible results? Are there laws that have been passed that maybe wouldn't have otherwise? Is there any way to measure this?
There is. So there's certainly plenty of people who have been exploring these kinds of questions to figure out what the policy implications are of having more women in office. Certainly many of us believe that women's equitable representation is necessary regardless of what kinds of policies might come out of office. But there is work that shows that that when we have greater numbers of women in office, we do end up with more attention to equality and social issues. We certainly get more attention on what we traditionally refer to as women's issues, mm-hmm. right? So we have evidence, of course, that women do make a difference when they're in office.
Hmm. I know there was a wave of violence against candidates in this year's elections in Mexico. We've reported on that here at KJZZ. How were female candidates impacted by that?
Yeah, well, obviously, Mexico, since about 2007, has had a tremendous problem with violence mm-hmm. of all sorts. And in the last election, we saw tremendous levels of political violence and the killing of a number of candidates. We certainly expect that deters many people, men and women, from entering politics because it can be a dangerous game, especially in some of these small towns and cities that have been just completely overrun by drug cartels.
Mm-hmm. All right. Magda Hinojosa is an associate professor in the School of Politics and Global Studies at Arizona State University. Magda, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on.